Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I've been in a bunch of threesomes. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and the first time anyone ever went down on me was at a sex party.
Oh man, I think we're going to talk about that because we have a special guest with us today. We're all in the same room and this is weird. I can see your faces. This is our friend Taylor J. Mace. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Of course. I'm Taylor J. Mace. I'm also a sex educator and reviewer. I run workshops. I'm non-binary. I'm queer. I'm poly. I'm kinky switch. And I'm a sex worker. Did I say that? I don't know. But I like to plan orgies, and that's more important.
So that's actually kind of how we met. I knew you before that, sort of, but I feel like this night was like the genesis of our becoming truly friends.
See, you told me before now that the genesis of us becoming friends was when we met through me telling a story about anal fisting.
That was the first time I ever saw you.
Oh, my bad.
I don't think we spoke that night. I think I was just like, oh, this person's telling a hilarious story about being elbow deep in another human.
We were at the same table,
that
but
does
I was
make
on
someone stand out.
It does. I was on a really terrible first date, so it's probably ignored.
That's how my first dates tend to go. One time I was elbow deep in this guy, and nice to meet you.
Yeah, these are separate stories.
Okay.
I was on a first date when I told the story.
Oh, right. No, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Regaling people. My first date with my partner was going to tell me something good. He saw me tell a story about dicks and kazoos and still wanted to date me. Good for us.
Well, good for you too, to be clear. The us is you and him. There's no good for me on that date with that guy.
Oh. Not impressed by the elbow deep thing?
It's very impressive. How could you not be?
Oh, no. He was fine. He was into me. He just... Bex, when he talked to me, Bex, he would
do
real intense eye contact, Bex. While, Kate, did you know that your name is Kate? And every sentence I'm going to say to you while staring at you intensely, but also talking really quietly, Kate?
Oh, it's a creepy
Your name is Kate.
So that was a deal breaker for you.
It turned out to be, yeah. It really weirded me out.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable.
He's lovely. I like talking to him over text. I still talk to him sometimes. You have met him a few times at Tell Me Something Good since.
Oh, mysterious. I don't know who this is.
That is fine. We can talk about that later.
Okay.
But yeah, it weirded me out.
Okay.
Real good kisser, though.
Well, I mean, you can't talk to someone intensely while... Well, you can while you're kissing them. That would be weird if he was just, like, making out with you and then also just like, Taylor, are you enjoying this kiss? Taylor, what do you think about the way I'm kissing you?
I mean, to be fair, I do like check-ins and mm-hmm. conversation around, like, is this the way that you want me to be doing things?
Mm-hmm.
However, Kate... And backs.
That would be a bit much.
It was a bit much.
So, to steer back to the point I was making before we climbed up someone's butt to our elbows with this conversation, I think the first, like, major memory I have from you, aside from that, is when you planned this hotel room orgy at Playground Conference, which was Bex's first time having someone go down on them. Which was just, it was artful to watch you put this event together.
Thank you.
We had talked online before that, but that was, I think, the first time we hung out in person.
It definitely was.
And
you look just like your pictures.
And Kate had mentioned that had mentioned that no one had gone down on me, and I was like 23 at this point or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting fun fact about my life.
I wouldn't describe it as a fun fact, but okay.
It's okay. Next time you're playing Trivial Pursuit Bex Edition, that'll come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Trivial Pup Suit.
Exactly.
Pup in a suit.
That's
good. Anyway. You had mentioned it to Taylor, like, the day before I got to Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw Taylor at a party, and it wound up coming up again, And then Taylor told everyone and collected volunteers.
I mean, to be fair, when Kate told me, I didn't think much of it because yeah. I don't enjoy receiving oral. So for me, it was like, huh, that sounds nice. But she also phrased it as, like, Bex has never received oral but would like to. So I was like, well, that sounds nice to me. I understand that, like, this should be changed. They want it to be changed. And then you were drunk that night. Or drinking.
I might have drank a little bit, yeah.
You had been drinking. I don't know if you were drunk.
Yeah.
And you brought it up again. And you brought it up as, like, a... definitely not a good thing in your life that you would like to try and change. And we were talking with our friend Jordan at the same time, and Jordan was like, well, I have a hotel room in this hotel.
Yeah.
You're welcome to try and change that tonight. So I went with it.
So you have a reputation as someone who's really good at planning group sex events.
Taylor J. Mace gets shit done.
Yes.
I think is like the tagline there. Pretty much anytime anyone I know who's been like, you know, I've always wanted to, and Taylor could be in like a 5-mile radius and will just appear and be like, you know, we can make that happen. I know a guy.
I was supposed to actually have a friend draw out, Toronto Anthony, draw out a comic of this evening, that evening.
Yeah.
Of me just popping up being like, I have more!
Yeah, well, because from like across the room, Taylor would be like, I have like 9 volunteers now. And then like, I would be like, okay. And then like, I'd go back to what I was doing. And then from another corner of the room, I'd just be like, 15 over here. We got more. Or like, Taylor would just appear holding someone by the arm and be like, this one? No? Okay, I'll keep looking.
Okay, so to give a bit of backstory, I asked Bex if they wanted me to fix this, to find someone to go down on them. And they were like, okay, yeah. They didn't really seem to believe that I was actually going to do it, but they said, yes, this is a goal they would like worked on. But then they didn't give me any input when I brought anyone toward them about, like, do they want to potentially have this person go down? So I assume, based on the way I communicate, that if you don't indicate yes, you're indicating no.
Right, right.
So I'm just going to keep finding people until Bex indicates yes.
I also wound up at one point walking up to someone who I now occasionally talk to and do know, but at the time did not know at all, explaining to someone else who I vaguely knew at the time, yeah, so there's this person here who's like never had anyone go down on them, and I was like, hi, nice to meet you, that's me. How's it going? I have since made out with that human, so I guess it went well. But,
I mean,
it's a weird evening.
Well,
yeah, sort of, kinda. So fast forward to upstairs. Did people go down on you?
Yes.
How many?
Yes. Only 2? 1? I think I hooked up with a lot of people.
I think there were at least 2.
I think there were 2 people that went down on me. Yeah.
Was that good? Did it go well?
They're all staring at me, y'all. We're in the same room right now.
Do you want me to not look at you while we podcast? So it feels
just
more real.
Which is so unlike
how they like sex.
Just hold up a piece of plastic so it looks like you're on Skype, like a little frame.
Cute.
It'll make so much more sense to my reality.
Just wear it the whole time I'm with you.
But yeah, it went well. I'm seeing that human again for like the first time since then today.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, wow, that was the one?
Yeah.
I don't even remember him being at that party.
It's because he was hiding between Bex's legs.
Yeah, I literally never saw any part of him except the, like, inch at the top of his head.
Yeah.
Because he was going down on you the whole time.
Yeah, so...
So that went well. How do you, in general, plan a group sex situation? Do you have, like, a process for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think for most people, the concept of walking around a party and going, would you like to go down on my friend, is kind of a foreign concept, so...
At a different sort of event, it might not have gone over so well, but Playground is a very sex-positive one, and I knew a lot of the people there, so I wasn't approaching just random people, being like, hey, random person, sex act. Don't do it like that. So I like to obsessively plan with spreadsheets.
Amazing.
Yeah. This was actually the only group sex party I think I've planned where a spreadsheet was not involved.
Which is shocking because Bex was there. This is the spreadsheetiest group I've ever encountered.
Exactly. But we did not have enough time. Mm. We were at a dance. We did not have things.
I have Google Sheets on my phone. I don't know what it is.
I do too.
So do
like
I.
On, yep. It's not even like, it is on like my tray on the bottom of my phone of like the apps that I access often. It's like Twitter and spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. Like,
of course it is.
It's dead center. It's very important.
Well, that didn't occur to me. Which, shame on me.
What's on your spreadsheets when you're planning a sex event?
So I have the name of the person, obviously, or whatever name they want to go by, what their gender identity is, what their gender pronouns are, what their sexuality is, what sorts of people they're open to playing with, because for me, I might be at a sex party. I like absolutely any type of body, genitals, gender, but I'm probably not looking to hook up with a cis dude at a sex party. Or maybe I'm not in the mood to try and do something with a trans guy. Like, my sexuality might not entirely line up with who I'm actively looking to play with right then. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, being poly, I have multiple partners. So while I have so many partners and so many needs, a lot of my needs are being met by various partners at all times.
Mm-hmm. Do you also keep track of like toys that you're planning on bringing in your spreadsheets?
Oh yes, I am just finishing the like who you are section. Okay.
Proceed.
So after we go through the like who they are, I also have a category for any sorts of physical disabilities or other disabilities or sensitivities that may be relevant. So that's the end of the who you are section, and it's sorted into different groups. The next group is what you're into. So it's got a column for like kink, yes or no. Are you top, bottom, verse, switch, dominant, submissive, all of that. And then again, what are you most interested in exploring? And it could be anything. What's next after that? There's a general notes section for, like, so you've already specified that you aren't being dominant that night. But general notes, so are you mostly interested in dominating impact or, like, are there any specifics to what you are looking to do? Do you really want someone to go down on you?
Yes.
First thing that came to mind, I wonder why. Bex. And that's sort of what goes into the notes section. Mm-hmm. And then after that is limits for doing, or like engaging in yourself, and then limits for seeing and or hearing. Because especially at kink parties, I am personally fine hearing a lot of my limits, but I don't want them touching me.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I don't want to engage in blood play, but I would also be really upset if I saw blood play.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, like, I don't engage in unprotected sex, but if I saw it, it wouldn't bother me. So things like that, just to be clear on, like, if people really want to do unprotected or blood play, how to arrange the room with those needs in mind.
So,
and do you so you compile this from all the people that get invited, and then does it get shared with the other attendees, or is it for your own personal like matchmaking and setup stuff, or?
So I normally do the organizing of rather than I don't know if I've ever actually had sex at a group sex thing that I've organized.
You're just this, like, selfless orgy angel. I love it.
That's complicated.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty common for event organizers. Mm-hmm. I very rarely see them playing at their own events.
Yeah.
Like, I've done little things, like at the one at Playground I organized, I got someone off and was lightly tied up and did some wrestling. but that was, you know, like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 10 great minutes. It was so much fun. This is not a complaint if you're listening to this.
And you also weren't, like, organizing an event for that. That was, like, a thrown together who wants to go to do the mm-hmm. thing. Like, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to coordinating, scheduling, and making sure safer sex supplies are available everywhere, and any, like, if it's a big enough event that it has, like, volunteer shifts or whatever, like, stuff like when you have to coordinate things, it's different, you know?
I also have a category, a column on my spreadsheet on safer sex practices and STI statuses and when your last check was and that sort of thing. So how I handle, like, sharing or not sharing that information is I ask each person when they're giving me the information, are you comfortable with this being shared with everyone? And if they say no, and they have indicated that they do have an STI, further conversations happen around, you know, me making sure they are sharing all relevant information with the people they're having sex with. And then I share what information is I have been given permission to. So sometimes that means, like, if it's the three of us, say, I'm fine having my information shared, Bex is fine having their information shared, but Kate, not so much. Only with the people she's going to play with. So I would just take Kate's name off that list mm-hmm. when I shared it between mm-hmm. Bex and myself. But then I would have the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would act in a more matchmaker-y role. Kate would also have access to mine and Bex's stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she could see, like, oh, you know, Bex sounds like a good match. Maybe share with them. So I could do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious how you handle, like, the more emotional side of planning group sex. Like, because I know that when I've planned threesomes before, sometimes there are conversations that need to happen around, like, is it going to make one person feel jealous if these other two people do this thing together? Do you have those types of conversations when you're planning stuff?
So I talk about aftercare
mm-hmm.
And what you definitely need and what you might need. And in that conversation, we talk about, like, emotional things. Like, sometimes things go wrong at sex parties.
Mm-hmm.
That could be seeing two people together that you're not actually comfortable with. That could be, like, a body thing. It could be all sorts of things. So I have a discussion, either verbal or written, with the people to talk about, like, how do you feel like your needs are going to get met? Or, sorry, what needs do you think will arise during it that will need to be dealt with?
Mm-hmm.
What are good ways to handle this? What would make you feel safest, most comfortable, etc.?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I feel like for a lot of us, we're having this conversation like, yes, obviously that is how sex parties go, yes. But for some of our listeners, this may be kind of foreign to them. So I'm curious if you have any tips for people going to, like, their first sexy event or play party and, like, what to expect, what that looks like, what they should know going in.
So first off, depends on if you're going on your own or with a partner. Going with a partner can be great. But it can also lend itself to a whole lot more opportunity for jealousy, even if you two just play together. Maybe
I do like the way it kind of takes off the pressure, though, going to a sex event with, like, an existing partner.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to be like, we're just going to play with each other, and there will be people that can see it.
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, that can be enough to, like, learn the environment.
Oh, yeah.
like, experience it, but not really in ways that are going to provoke necessarily a ton of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But even seeing people, like, checking out your partner can be a little bit like, I know they're real attractive, also mine.
I was talking more on, like, for instance, when I went to my first sex club with my current boyfriend. I am an exhibitionist. He is not. He likes feeling as
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing you guys. I was like, how do you find the 50-50 on that? And your partner is just behind, like, a black curtain with just a dick through. And you are in the middle of the room, like, look at me!
I mean, we have done a glory hole before. He did really like that.
Glory holes are fucking great.
Except, in my head, it's because, like, I'm picturing you in the middle of the room in the sex club. It's just a little round black curtain.
Of course I'm in the middle of the fucking room. That he can, look at me, goddammit.
Yeah, it's just a little black curtain that he can, like, roll around in and just have the dick out.
Time out of time would blow.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No,
that was
fine.
Just...
So he likes watching other people have sex. He does not like feeling as if I'm putting on a show for other people. So when we first went, we had discussed this, and he knows that I like to show off, and I like putting on a damn good show. And I do things differently when there's an audience. So we had discussed this a lot in advance, and we weren't really sure how it was going to go. We figured we'd go to the club, and if the mood struck us, we would engage in sexual activities. And if it didn't, we'd just enjoy the hot tub and the pool. So at a few points, he, you know, was watching other people have sex, and he was getting aroused. Great! I'm all for this. But for other people, this could be a moment of, oh, my boyfriend is getting aroused watching other people fuck. We've been here for an hour and hasn't gotten an erection from me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could feel like that, even though that may not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of opportunities where jealousy can happen. But also, it can be really hot to have sex in front of people who are watching you.
Yes.
And
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Would recommend.
And especially if you're a person with a penis, or your partner is a person with a penis, penises are just so fickle. Like, the body and the brain can be totally turned on, and the penis can be completely soft, or vice versa. There are so many reasons why maybe they're anxious about having sex in front of a crowd. Maybe that's why they're not erect.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot... lots of situations where things could quote-unquote go wrong, but that's really only if you've got a very specific thing in mind with, we're going to go, and this is going to be what's happening, and then it's going to be this, and then... whereas I prefer to approach it more loosely, even with partners that I know enjoy also having sex in public.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll go, we'll play it by ear, we'll maybe do things... Here are some things that we might do. Here are some things we would be interested in doing if an erection happens. And if an erection doesn't happen, here are some other things that we would also, like, if there is no erection, we can do this other group of things and leave feeling completely happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier, what I'm hearing is it's easier for you to go in, like, without expectations, because... I find that just for myself going into sex events and all kinds of other events is just like, if I can manage my expectations as much as possible, there's so much less opportunity for disappointment.
Yeah. I also have found it helpful in the past to try to visit the location of the thing that I'm going to go to beforehand, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time I went to our local sex club here, I had a friend tour me around the whole place, and that just made me feel so much calmer for, like, a porn shoot that I was going to do there later on, because I felt like I knew the lay of the land, and I wasn't freaked out, like, trying to figure out where the bathrooms were or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was helpful for me.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Now, what if you're going to an event alone? I know you said you had some other tips for that as well.
So similar, manage your expectations. Don't necessarily go into it expecting that you will definitely have sex with someone there. Maybe you won't, especially if you're at a sex party that hasn't been obsessively planned by yours truly. Because then you don't know anything about the people you're going to meet up with.
I went to a sex party by myself one time, and I was feeling too anxious to interact with other humans, so I had brought toys, and I just sort of jerked off quietly in the corner, and yeah. It was lovely. I had a great time.
When I go alone, a lot of times, I will, if I can, I will volunteer for the event, because for me, if I have a job, it makes it so much easier to meet people.
Right.
And then if I can't volunteer, I assign myself a job, which is usually look at all of the people alone in the corner and entertain them, because clearly they need someone to approach them, and I am doing them a favor by going and approaching them mm-hmm. and, like, seeing if they want someone to talk to. So, like, kind of framing it in that way helps for me, because otherwise I will just be one of those people in the corner like, well, everyone's naked now. That's a thing. Woo!
As an orgy planner,
what a great way to start a sentence.
It's going to go on my next batch of business cards. One of the things that I frequently do during orgies, less so during kink play parties than more vanilla-based ones, is I will make sure people have the safer sex supplies they need. I will make sure people have towels. I will, if toys have come out of someone and they're sort of rolling around on the bed, I will collect them and clean them so that they don't end up like having someone put their hand on a used toy and then touching their genitals, and whose genitals was that toy in?
Mm-hmm.
Cross-contamination is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Or like accidentally breaking an expensive glass toy or something.
Yeah.
At my last, the last party I went to, I was a condom fairy. and the job came with fairy wings and a little bucket, and I floated around and made sure everyone had safer sex supplies. And one person flagged me down and like was like, you know, I need some gloves. And I was like, awesome, great. And I went and like, got like two different sizes and was like, you know, which one works for you, blah, blah, blah. And they put the glove on and they look at me and go, is your name Bex? And I was like, yep. Hello. And they're like, oh my God, I love your podcast. And I was like, oh, thanks. And then I just stood there awkwardly and realized that they were very clearly waiting to finger the person next to them. And I was like, I'm just going to, you two kids have fun. I'm going to go.
Hello to that person. I hope you had some good finger banging.
My life is weird sometimes.
It happens. Actually, one of my best friends messaged me the other day, and apparently she listens to this podcast all the time.
Aww.
And I recommended it to her, or she read it on my site or something. Anyway, she was saying that she like gets all excited whenever she hears either one of you mention me. I don't get to see her much anymore. So I, of course, did not tell her I was going to be on this
Aww.
Podcast.
Surprise.
So, surprise! But what I was going to say is, if you're a solo person at a sex party and there is clearly an organizer.
An orginizer, if you will.
Or that. So this is more of like a private event rather than at a sex club.
Mm-hmm.
You can always approach that person and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling totally comfortable yet. May or may not engage. Is there any way that I can help you currently?
Mm-hmm.
And then they can tell you if something needs to be done, such as make sure that we've got some fresh orange juice ready. some orange juice poured into cups. Ready.
I'm just imagining just like men in orange Speedos squeezing freshly squeezed orange juice for the end of the party.
Orgy goals. I am going to make that happen eventually.
Excellent.
It's OJ. It's orgy juice.
Exactly.
That's a whole other thing that I'm uncomfortable about. Cool.
To shift gears a little bit, you've been teaching these playful domination workshops, which I've been to a couple of them. I think they're really awesome because, like, there's not a lot of discourse around a non-super serious way of dominating people. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those workshops and how you got the idea to do them?
Yes, I'd love to. They're my baby. I'm very protective over this workshop. So basically, I came up with this playful domination workshop based on the idea of I am a mostly dominant switch who is very tiny and faggy and delicate and pretty boy. And typically dating and fucking giant, masculine, manly men.
Yes, I've seen some of these men. This is true.
Yeah. Like, my current lover, who's submissive to me, we're both switches, but he is exclusively submissive to me. There is no switching. I got him to pull some... I was doing some self-tying the other day at his house. I got him to pull the rope tighter for me because it was at an awkward angle and he could barely do that. He was like, this is weird. I feel like I'm tying you up. That's not a thing. Like, he's very submissive to me. He's also, like, over twice my body weight and a foot taller than me. He's 6'8" and giant and bearded.
And adorable.
He is a sweetie. And such a good pain tolerance, which is why we started doing anything together. But anyway, my partners typically look like him. So, you know, walking down the street with them, and everyone's like, oh, that tiny little redhead is clearly the submissive in that relationship. No, those are the ones that I want to beat up. If you look at me and my partner and say, I think the redhead is in control, or the redhead is definitely in control, that's the ones that I want to be submissive to. So navigating this space was a little bit complicated in the beginning because, you know, there's these ideas of what a dominant is, and they're the big tough ones, the ones that can throw you onto the bed and restrain you one-handed while finger banging you quickly and roughly with the other hand.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy receiving that as well, but mm-hmm. I can't do that with my lover. Mm-hmm. My limbs aren't even long enough to get both his wrists pinned above his head and my other hand at his genitals. Like, he is too large for that. So it's this way of figuring out, like, how you can still be dominant and still be an effective dominant without fitting that stereotype of what a top, a dominant looks like. And it makes it easier for a lot of different things, such as both parties to laugh and express pleasure in ways like that. It allows for a more accessible look at domination because, for instance, a person in a wheelchair is not frequently looked at and assumed to be capable of being dominant because of the physical attributes people prescribe to it. Mm-hmm. But I have met plenty of great doms who have physical disabilities. So it's just another way of looking at an interaction, a kink interaction, and seeing how you can be dominant even if you don't fit the stereotype.
Mm-hmm. And I have such a better time with dominants who are capable of laughing. Because, like, sometimes, even if you're trying to be serious, like, some ridiculous shit will happen in the middle of sex and you'll have to... Like, occasionally my partner... there's this one song that comes up on Shuffle a lot that's, like, a slow R&B song. And the chorus says, "You're so beautiful that a blind man could love you." Which is, like, both really weird and really ableist and just, like, distracting. So every time that comes up, we kind of have to stop and go switch the song.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, like, it feels like such high pressure if you feel like you can't break the scene for anything, whether it's like laugh or like make a request of your partner. Like, it's so much easier and like lower pressure sometimes if they're playful from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. I also find with playful domination, and this may just be like my experiences of one versus the other, but I have a lot of anxiety, especially around consent stuff. Mm. So when you've got a more playful approach, I find it a lot easier to get the sort of ongoing, constant, reaffirming consent that my anxiety needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, without getting too spoilery, what are some of the tips you like to give during your workshop to create a scene that has that more playful air rather than the serious, scary FetLife dom-ly-dom experience that I think most people assume going into kink?
So similar to my orgy tips, my first one would be to just try and curb your expectations. Also, communicate a lot. Mm. I think those are definitely the most important two. And then after that, I like to build consent. And when I talk about consent, I don't just mean I want to do X. Do you want to do that also? Which is definitely part of it, but it can also include like having a conversation to find out what the other person is interested in. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if I pitch to Kate, like, if I pitch to Kate...
You're talking in journalist speak.
I was thinking more gay slang, pitching versus catching.
Can I be a gay journalist baseball pitcher?
You can try.
That's my new fantasy. Cool.
I will allow this. So if I'm negotiating with Kate and I suggest that, like, I would really want to, I'm trying to pick a thing that I know you're not into.
Urethral sounding, perhaps.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was like, my brain is not giving me anything that's a no in Kate's books.
That came to mind immediately.
Because we've been discussing that lately.
Yep.
So if I suggested to Kate, you know, I've been thinking all week about how much I really just want to sound you.
I would be like, that sounds terrible.
She would say it like that. But if we have a dynamic where I'm dominant, there can be a pressure for Kate to be like, okay, I'm supposed to go along with what my... In order to be a good girl, I have to go along with my dominant suggestions and please my dominant. So this isn't a hard limit. So I guess, sure, I will awkwardly inform Taylor that this is all right, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound someone who reacts like that to it. Mm-hmm. So a way that you can have that conversation and build on the consent is sort of a thing that Kate and Bex talk about a lot on this podcast, is improv. Yes, and, although in this case it's meh, and. So instead of saying, that sounds terrible, and making an awful pun. And again, this is for when you're being suggested an activity that is not a hard limit, but you're not really feeling it. Mm-hmm. You could say, well, you know, we could do that. Or how about you spank me? Or you could say, you could respond to that by saying, well, I've been thinking all week about going down on you and then getting spanked. You could say, I'm not using suggestions that are tailored to people in this room at all.
No. That's why I was laughing. I was like, oh, oral sex and spankings. Hello.
Yeah. It's because I'm talking about things you would rather do.
I would always rather do that. Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things this brings to mind for me is how on my yes, no, maybe list, I like to have a yes into and a yes willing column, mm-hmm. and yep. then a maybe column, because then when, because sometimes I do like when my dominant, like, I'm actually, because I'm so service-minded, when my sir is super into something and it's not something I'm into, I love having him, like, express that to me and being able to do that for him and right. being able to push my boundaries a little bit to do something that I know he's really excited about.
Mm-hmm. That me too.
Inherently is very hot to me. Mm-hmm. But also, it's important for him as my dominant to know if I am, like, pushing those boundaries and doing something that I wouldn't normally be into that's edgy to me or whatever, or if it's something I'm, like, truly excited about all the time. Like, we do a lot of stuff with nipple play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like nipple play. It hurts. I'm not a huge fan.
But the way in which you don't like it is a way that's, like, kind of fun for both of you.
Exactly. My mm-hmm. partner, pretty indifferent to it until he found out I hated it. Then yeah. he was like, go on. And it's not a hard limit for me. It's on my, like, yes willing / maybe column.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that makes it more fun.
Yeah.
So I think communicating, like, what I definitely am into versus what I'm willing to do versus what is edgy and it's a maybe for me versus what's a hard limit
mm-hmm.
Can be really helpful in building a scene just to evoke different feelings. Like, mm-hmm. if I hadn't communicated that and he thought nipple play was a treat for me versus,
yeah.
like, more torturous for me,
mm-hmm.
he would be creating a very different environment in those scenes.
Yeah.
I also, one of the things I love about your yes, no, maybe list is your focus on the feelings involved, because I know that for me, the feelings can really, like, make or break whether I'm going to want to do a thing. So for, like, for example, if someone offers me their dick to blow in a way where it's like they're deigning to give it to me and it's like it's a special privilege for me and I have to, like, earn it, and they don't even really want it that much, they're just, like, letting me do it, I hate that. That makes me feel gross.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and I know lots of people are into yep. that, but, like, for me, I need to feel like a diligent, servicey good girl to really get into that, and so it can be, like, a hard limit for a blowjob to be approached from a certain perspective, whereas from another perspective, it's, like, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I feel that way about spanking a lot, too. Like, I don't do, like, you know, the very common, like, punishment trope for spankings.
Mm-hmm.
I much, much prefer where it's, well, you know, daddy wants to see his boy in pain, so
mm-hmm.
come be a good boy. Like, that thing where, like, you're doing it just because it pleases the other person, and, like, that I'm like, oh, yes, please, absolutely, spanking is great.
That actually leads perfectly into my next point, is another thing that really, in my opinion, and it gets to be my opinion because I'm the one who wrote this workshop and I'm the one talking about it. So in my opinion, really makes playful domination different is how punishments are done.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, when I'm being dominant, if you enjoy being beaten, I will absolutely be beating you. Like, that will be a part of the scene. But that won't be because you've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I will be beating you because I want to beat you and you want to be beaten. And
why not?
Why else
yeah.
would I?
yeah.
But if you've done something jokingly wrong and you have to get, like, a fun punishment, I will have figured out, like, well, what can I use as a punishment for you? What is a thing that you aren't super into but you enjoy receiving it in this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've actually genuinely done something wrong, that's a whole nother set of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to never use kinks that people are actively looking for as punishments,
mm-hmm.
Pretend punishments or otherwise. I try and give what they want as a thing that this is a thing that they want. So this is what we're going to create a scene around, as opposed to creating any sort of mental link between quote unquote bad behavior and getting what you want.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. Taylor, thank you so, so much for being on our show. This was a really great and illuminating conversation, as always. I feel like every time I talk to you, I learn new kink nerdy shit. So thank you. Do you want to tell folks where they can find you online and what you're up to next?
Yes. So you can find me. My website is feistyfoxfilms.com.
You said that so sexy.
Thank you. I was trying to say it slow so I didn't slur it. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to hire me to do things to or with or around you in person, you can find me at taylorjmace.com. That's just the letter J, not J-A-Y. You can find me on Twitter at taylorjmace. And at Feisty Fox Films. You can find me on Facebook, same names. FetLife is Taylor J. Mace. Tumblr is Taylor J. Mace. Basically, if you just type Taylor J. Mace in anywhere, you can find me. And my upcoming events, I don't have too much. Well, you can find me at Woodhull, which is going to be very soon, or may have just happened, depending on when this goes up. Then I think my next conference is the Philly Trans Health Conference in September, where I will be doing a playful domination workshop. So you should come check that out.
Awesome. Thanks. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. And the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at thedildorks.com. You can find us at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. And this week, tweet at us with your funniest kink story. If you're looking for some other ways to support us, you can go to your favorite podcast app, ideally iTunes or Stitcher, just because they're the big ones, and give us a rating or review. It helps us show up higher in search rankings, and it makes me smile. Or you can head over to patreon.com/thedildorks and sign up to throw us a couple of bucks every time we release a new episode. Gets you access to stuff like live recordings, stickers, and other fun things. If you're going to be at Woodhull, you can come check us out. We're going to be recording a live podcast there, which I'm super excited about.
It's going to be so good.
The information for that is at sexualfreedomsummit.org.
Thank you to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song, and thank you to Amy Gardner for doing our art. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
I would talk about like conversations or initiating stuff.
Yeah, we're talking
like,
to Suze about threesomes tomorrow. Yeah, I don't want to go too heavy on threesomes.
We could.
I've also never really planned. I've planned very few threesomes.
Yeah, I always trip and fall into my threesomes. I had someone completely out of the blue come into the room and go, Bex, would you ever go to an orgy? And I just went, and I looked at him, and half the people in the room are like, they go to one, like, every weekend. And I was like, I mean monthly, but yeah. And he was like, okay. Actually, the question was, would you ever go to an orgy party? Mm. And I was like, that's not cute. No one.
As opposed to an orgy that's very somber and silent.
Yeah.
Nobody's having a good
time. I was like, that's not how people say any of those things. It's like there's balloons. Someone bumped into me yesterday when I was walking with Kate, and like they bumped into me, so I didn't say sorry. They like hit my hand, like barely touched me, and then got a little farther, and like from behind me I just hear ow, and I like whipped around like this close to being like, we got a problem, we're gonna fucking and Kate just kept walking, and I was like, all right, we're going. It's fine.
Ah, cute little.
I'm a New Yorker on testosterone.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Freshly on testosterone. Have fun.
So, to shift gears a little bit, you've been teaching... What?
Okay, you're going to just go right to the playful domination. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to ask you to do. Never mind.
Mind readers. So good at this.
And you don't even have a screen between you.
I know. It's like our mojo is all like connected and weird.
You still didn't even touch.
It's fine.
We don't do that. Just ask the dudes we threesomed with.
Oh, I have heard. So many times.
My favorite is the first dude who, like, very clearly had a moment when, like, both of our faces were vaguely near over him, and he, like, leaned back and, like,
tried to push us together. It was very much like,
now make out. And we both, like, looked at each other and looked back at him, and he was just like, okay. And, like, just flawlessly carried on, but there was very clearly a moment when he was like, now you two make, no, okay, all right.
Rejected. sorry, I'm just texting my dad.
No, it's fine. I always want to text my dad when I think about playful domination, too.
Oh, God. Oh, my dad. My daddy.
Oh, my bad.
No, my dad.
I think of the guy I call dad, but not my actual father. That's a different dad. Poly kink problems.